story about fast food workers being sent home for slow sales, being kept late on busy days, struggling to find consistency. Madeline Miller started working part-time at a Canada Tim Hortons when she turned 15. Her work schedule was all over the place. She'd often be scheduled for a three-hour shift on the weekends, but then would be asked to stay much longer on busy days. Sometimes her boss would then cut back on those extended hours. She saw people, including a recent immigrant trying to save for higher education, sent home early several times because of slow sales. The practice of regularly sending workers home early falls within the law, but further complicates life for precarious workers in low-wage jobs and may ultimately be detrimental for businesses in an industry with high employee turnover. Joining us to talk about this, Sunira Chaudhry. She is a partner with Levitt LLP and a regular guest on the Jerry Agar panels. Hi, Sunira. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Barb.
So, you know, we think about this and, you know, I was talking with the guys, Ryan and Jay, earlier, and Ryan was like, oh, so, you know, I get let go early. Great. I get to go home early. And I was saying to him, yeah, that's great if you're not worrying about paying your bills. But as one example in the story, an immigrant trying to save money, it doesn't work out well for everybody when that happens.
No, and it rarely does. There's, of course, the subset of employees that have the luxury of being able to go home early if it's not too busy. And sometimes employers will ask for volunteers for employees to go home early if things are slow. But there are many employees, I would hazard a guess that it would be the majority of employees, that when it comes to shift work, you usually get your schedule a week or two in advance and you see, okay, I'm scheduled for 20 hours or 32 hours or what have you. And you immediately sort of pull out your calculator, do the mental math and figure what you're going to be making that week based on the hours that you're projected to work. So many employees don't have the luxury or frankly can afford to cut back on their hours. So us now seeing this trend of employers trying to pull back on hours mid-shift, it's a pretty dangerous sort of proposition because it places many employees in a precarious position.
Is it legal in every situation to do that?
I think there's a misconception that just because it might technically be legal, and what I mean by that is that just because you are not violating the Employment Standards Act doesn't mean you're not violating your employment agreement. So unless an employer has it in their employment agreements that, you know, your hours can change from time to time and even from day to day, and we reserve the right to cut back on hours or add on hours depending on the needs of the business, and you agree that that's something that you're willing to do, unless an employer has that, you know, in writing, and it's very clear from the outset of employment, any employee is free to make a complaint. If you are scheduled for 8 hours, but 2 hours into your shift, if you're asked to go home, you know, that's a material change to your employment. And I think many employees would march straight to a lawyer or to the Ministry of Labor and make hay on that, and they'd be successful.
Is there a minimum number of hours that a company has to pay you for a shift if you're booked for, say, 8 hours?
The Employment Standards Act requires generally that if you are scheduled for a shift and for whatever reason, last minute, an employer cancels on you, there's a three-hour rule that you're supposed to typically be paid 3 hours if you're scheduled for a shift and something changes. So the technical legal minimum is 3 hours, and if you're an employee and you accept that, that's fine. But employees should know that if many employees will get their shifts, as I said earlier, a week or so in advance. And if you're scheduled for 40 hours, but you're starting to show up at work and noticing, well, I started at 8 a.m. and at 10 a.m. I'm asked to be, sent home. It's one thing if you volunteer to do it, if you're happily doing it, if you're consenting to it because you just don't feel like working that day, that's something different. But if you are being sent home without a choice, you can surely go to your employer and say, I'm relying on these hours. I can't afford to be going home at 10 when I've budgeted my week to work until 5. So 3 hours is the technical minimum. But if that is not what your employment contract limits you to, meaning if your employer hasn't set out that we can send you home when we want to and you agree that we're allowed to do that, unless you agree to that, employers can't do that willy-nilly.
What about keeping you late if it's busy and you have to leave, can an employer demand that you stay or you risk being let go?
So it's a good question. And what we see more often than not in employment agreements is employers saying, we may need you to stay later. We may need you to work weekends from time to time, and you agree to that. And many employees do. The fact of the matter is, it shouldn't be an act of reprisal. If someone decides not to do overtime, if they haven't agreed to it up front, an employer shouldn't be able to retaliate later. But the fact of the matter is, and practically speaking, most employers are going to give the prime shifts to those employees who are willing to put in that extra time. So when it comes to the better time shifts, the better hours, you know, the sort of the premium shifts, if you would call it that, usually those are reserved for those employees who are willing to kind of last minute or mid shift agree to stay a little bit later. It's unfortunate, but that's sort of the reality.
Is it fair to say that most employment contracts that are drawn up seem to have language that covers off just about every single possibility? We may need you late. We may need you this time. We may need you that time. We may change it. Like, it's all over the place.
Not usually.
Okay.
Usually we see offer letters that are pretty sparse. They're not much more than a couple of paragraphs, which is generally good for employees. Employees, if you're out there and you get a pretty sparse offer letter, that's great, because terms generally are great for the employer, not for you. So don't march into your employer's office and demand a contract. Usually that's not in your favor. So we're not usually seeing that. But one line that we see in retail and the food service industry a lot is, we need you to be able to do overtime just based on the needs of the business. And that's sort of a standard practice across the board. But what we haven't seen is employers reserving the right to cut your hours to just the bare minimum. So employees should be speaking up if that's happening.
Okay, I'm out of time, but somebody texted in a great question that I must ask you before I let you go. Someone wants to know about on-call shifts, when the employer puts an employee on the schedule, but they have to call in to see if they are required to work.
So the laws kind of change back and forth on that. And generally speaking, employers, if you want your employee to be on call, meaning they might be waiting at home to come into work, but they have to be ready to work before employees could agree to be on call and not be paid. Bill 148 kind of changed that and instituted this minimum 3-hour rule. And that's sort of been in the wings here with Bill 148 being repealed. Many employers really had a problem with, you know, sometimes we're putting employees on call, but we're not calling them in, and we still have to pay them the 3 hours. So the law is a little gray there, but generally speaking, prior to Bill 148, employees, if they agreed to be on call and they agreed to that, and they were they were at home and went about their business and weren't working, if you're not required to be in the workplace but on call, generally speaking, you know, you're not entitled to pay for that. It's only when you're in the workplace are you entitled to pay. Pay in return for work. If you're not actually working, you're probably not going to be all that successful just for being on call.
Sunira Chaudhry, thank you for this.
Thanks, Barb.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. She's a partner at Levitt LLP.